The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So tonight I'd like to talk about a little bit about meditation, and in particular about kind of how we enter into meditation. In my own experience, my own practice, I used to begin my meditation practice by kind of rushing right to the breath. It's like, okay, breath, I'm supposed to be with the breath. And it took me quite a while to realize that it's more important to set up a kind of a very open, relaxed container in which that breath can be experienced, rather than rushing right to the breath, to kind of settle in with relaxation first, which is what I suggested in the guided meditation. So the talk will kind of be a follow-on from the guided meditation that I did. So to begin with, actually, I'd like to kind of start by covering the terrain of what concentration is, because I think most of us, in coming into meditation practice, what we like about meditation practice is the concentration. That's the part that feels good. It's the part that allows our mind to get still, stable, settled, and it generally feels pretty good when the mind comes into that place of stability. And because that's what feels good, we tend to want to rush right to it and to think, okay, this is how I did it last time, I'm going to do that again. So we bring a kind of a doing attitude to our meditation practice, to try to accomplish something to get us concentrated. And concentration actually isn't something that we can do. It's actually more of a result of conditions. And one of the main conditions that supports concentration is relaxation. So that's kind of the framework that I'd like to talk about tonight. But to start, I'd like to talk a little bit about concentration itself, because there are different kinds of concentration, and I just want to lay out the territory of what we're talking about. So the main kind of concentration that most people are familiar with is what we could call one-pointed concentration, a kind of concentration that develops as we settle and stabilize our attention on one thing, like the breath. We come to the breath, we stay with the breath. Whenever we notice our mind has wandered, we come back to the breath. If we notice the mind is pulled to other things, we come back to the breath. That kind of concentration stabilizes awareness. And the mind, both the mind and the experience, become really kind of quiet. They can become quiet and still because the mind is just attending to one thing. So everything else kind of recedes, and there's not very much busyness happening. And the mind can just really kind of sink into that experience, and it feels pretty good when that happens. So that's one kind of concentration, and I think most people are familiar a little bit with that as being what concentration is. There's another kind of concentration that can happen with meditation that I want to point to, because it's an important side of the meditation practice, and we may not, some of you may not be as familiar with this kind of concentration. And this is a kind of concentration that develops because of a stability of the awareness, that the mindfulness is present moment after moment after moment, but what the mind is knowing moment after moment after moment is a flowing, changing, dynamic experience. You may notice a sound in one moment and a body sensation in the next moment and a thought in the next moment and a breath in the next moment and a feeling in the next moment. Or it may be a kind of more expansive sense of a broad awareness, which I pointed to in the guided meditation at one point. Just after we finished the relaxation aspect, I suggested opening to a broad awareness that wasn't specific, that was more just kind of looking out at a panorama. That's a kind of an open awareness too, where the experience feels more like a flow of changing experience. This is also a kind of concentration. The concentration in this case is not about the stillness of the object of what we're paying attention to, but rather the stillness and stability, the ability of the mind to stay in the present moment without getting distracted or caught by anything and starting to think about it. So this kind of open awareness is it's often a little more challenging, or it can be more challenging for some people, because there's so much going on that there's a lot for the mind, the thinking process to hook to. You know, you're sitting in open, spacious awareness, and there's the sound of the train, and you hear the sound of the train, and suddenly you're thinking about trains, and then you're on a train, and then you're riding up to San Francisco, and then you're in San Francisco doing things in San Francisco, all in your mind. That kind of open awareness is sometimes harder to cultivate, because it's easy for the mind to get hooked onto the various things that are flowing through. So in both cases, the concentration is coming because of the stability of the attention. The attention is connecting to one, or connecting to experience, and staying present. Our mind is not getting lost in thought. So both kinds of concentration, whether we're staying with one object or allowing a flow of experience, is the mindfulness being still, present, moment to moment. These two kinds of concentration feel different. One is very dynamic, and one can feel very stable, very quiet, very still. So partly I say this to lay out the terrain of the different kinds of concentration, because in this exploring of relaxed, this relaxation of mind, different people have different ways into that relaxation. Some people, all of our minds are different, and some people find it relatively easy to settle and stabilize on one experience, and that the mind can do that without too much tension. Other minds find that kind of trying to stay with one thing, that's a recipe for the mind like getting tied up into knots. Some minds find it much easier to be a little bit relaxed, to be relaxed and attentive with a broader, open kind of awareness. So there are pluses and minuses to both kinds of concentration. In the concentration that's one-pointed, attending to just one thing, that is some of the benefits of that is that the mind can become quite still. It can be easier to know when your mind is wandering off, because you're paying attention to one thing. So it's pretty easy to know when your mind has wandered off of that one thing. So it can be easier to begin to recognize when you're present and when you're not present. But it also tends to, for quite a few people, lead to a kind of a striving, an efforting, a doing. I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to be able to stay with this experience of breathing. The open awareness can tend towards a more relaxed attention. It can allow the mind to be more spacious and easeful around what's happening, but it's also easier to get spacey and to not really know when your mind is wandering around. So it's really helpful to learn about both sides, and also to learn which side your mind is more comfortable in. So as we set up our meditation, as we begin our meditation, it's helpful to find a way to pay attention to experience that is both relaxed and yet alert. One time on one retreat, I was exploring this kind of relaxed attentiveness to experience, and one of the retreatants came up to me and he said, "I finally get it. Relaxation and alertness aren't opposites. Now, it's not either relaxed or alert. They can come together." And that's really the kind of the framework that we're cultivating with meditation. So many times when we sit into meditation, in particular if we have an object that we're trying to pay attention to, like the breath, we have this agenda, and that notion of "I'm going to do this" really kicks in. And we don't even consider the possibility of relaxation. It's just like, "I need to do this, breath, breath, breath." That's certainly the way I began. I thought that I could do this practice. And it did not even occur to me that relaxation was important for setting up this base out of which the meditation could grow. And so I've come to a great appreciation through my practice, through having done a lot of striving and a lot of forcing, a lot of focusing, to begin my meditation with a good period of relaxation. And that's what I generally encourage in the guided meditation, to begin with a period of relaxation. So if we can start with relaxation, we can start with relaxing the body. That can support the mind being relaxed. And with the mind being relaxed, then we can begin to understand what does it mean to pay attention from that place of relaxation. So that's how I was kind of guiding you in with the guided meditation, beginning with the relaxation and then just seeing from that place of relaxation, is there a kind of a natural awareness that's happening? So from this beginning place of relaxation, this is where it's helpful to begin to have a sense for yourself of where your mind is most comfortable in meditation. So this takes some experimentation. It takes some kind of exploration on your part to discover for yourself, is your mind pretty relaxed and at ease and comfortable while it's paying attention to the breath? Or does it tend to tighten down if you're trying to stay with one object? Is it easier for you to be open and spacious, perhaps connect with hearing, allowing a kind of more changing sense of experience? Is that easier for you? Often I like to suggest to people that you begin with what feels most natural for you. Wherever it's easiest for you to connect and be present, that's the place to begin your meditation practice. We often think, "Oh, okay, well, I'm not so good at concentration, so that's really what I should do." Or we might think, "Well, I'm really good at concentration, so I need to work on this other thing." What I found in my own practice is that all of the meditation kind of, it's all interconnected, all of the ways the mind works. So if you begin where you're most comfortable, if you go through that doorway, wherever you're most easeful with the meditation, from that place you can begin to open out to the other kinds of practices. So it's helpful. Both of these kinds of concentration that I described, the one-pointed concentration and the open attention, both need to be cultivated in our practice. That we need to be able to direct the attention to something without getting tight around it. We also need to be able to open to the whole range of experience without getting lost. So both sides are necessary in our daily life as well as in our meditation. If we can direct our attention without getting tense, then we can accomplish things in daily life in a more relaxed way. If we can be with open, we can be open with a kind of a flow of changing experience without getting caught and pulled around by our habits and frustrations and reactivity, then we can live our lives in a much more smooth way. Our lives are full of this kind of flow of experience. If all we do in our meditation is focus on one thing, that will be not so easy to transfer into our daily life. And yet, it's really helpful to be able to direct the attention to something in a relaxed and balanced way. So both sides are helpful. Both sides are supportive for both our meditation and our lives. So get familiar with whichever kind of avenue is more comfortable for you. And it might be kind of somewhere in the middle. It might be, you know, you're more at ease just with one thing, like hearing, but hearing is dynamically changing. So you're in a flow of changing sound. So it's not kind of a stable kind of thing. But it's also, you're also not just opening up to everything. So getting familiar with where it's easiest for you. Where is it easiest for you to be relaxed in your meditation? Is it easiest for you to be relaxed with hearing? Is it easiest for you to be relaxed with breathing? Or perhaps in a kind of a more spacious, open awareness? Cultivate that. Start there. Start from that place. And then, once you've got a kind of a stability in that area, then begin to see how you might cultivate the other side. So for myself, I'll just describe a little bit how this unfolded in my own practice to make it a little bit more concrete. So I began by just trying to stay with the breath, really, you know, focused on the breath, really focused. And I thought I was pretty good at that, and I was actually able to do that through an act of will, through a kind of a forcing, like I'm going to do this. So this is possible with meditation practice. We can, through an act of will, kind of force ourselves to be with an experience. This does cultivate a concentration, but it tends to be a little bit on the brittle side. It is easily broken. The mind can easily be bumped out of that space because it's happening through this holding to, through tightening around, holding on to. So that's where I began. I began with that, thinking that's what I was supposed to do. And I did tie myself up in knots. I got really frustrated when I couldn't do it. I thought I was a failure. I thought I was a bad meditator. When it worked, I was really happy and, you know, feeling like, oh, I know how to do this. I'm really good at this. And then, you know, a day later, it'd be like, I can't do this at all. And I would just ping-pong between these two. And then I began to explore open awareness. My teacher suggested I begin to explore just this practice of seeing the flow of experience. And that was hard at first because I had a very strong tendency to focus from my work, in fact. I was a computer programmer, very focused at work. So I could force my mind. I had that skill to put my mind on something. And this being in an open, spacious place of just seeing things come and go, it's like, well, what am I supposed to do with this? You know, it felt distracting, it felt disorienting. And yet, the interesting thing that I've discovered is that in terms of relaxed attention, this open awareness is the place my mind is most comfortable. So it took me a while to discover that, actually, because I was so good at that directing of the attention because of my training in computer science. So I was really good at that, but it was very tight. It was very clenched. So when I began to practice with the open awareness, once I got past the kind of unsettledness of all of this stuff coming and going, I found that the mind could be very relaxed and alert in that place. So I found that it actually didn't take that much effort to be mindful. So a much easier settling into a stability of awareness from this relaxed, open container. And then once I learned how to be relaxed and attentive, then I began to see, well, can I bring that relaxed attentiveness to pay attention to one thing, rather than it being a flow of changing experience and being relaxed in the flow of changing experience? Can I bring the breath in and observe the breath with that same relaxed mind? So that was quite a long exploration for me. So I bring this up just to encourage you to explore how can you be attentive and relaxed at the same time. There's a few things I learned about this that I'm going to offer you, some tools that I learned about this, and some of them I offered in the guided meditation. There's a couple of different aspects. Essentially what I'm talking about here is how do we apply our attention to experience? And there's a couple of different aspects to this applying our attention. One is that kind of directing of the attention, turning our attention to an experience. And another is the sustaining of the attention. So this directing of the attention or connecting to an experience, I think that sometimes this is a place where we tighten up a little bit, because we pick something and then it's like we think we need to focus down on it. So for instance, if we're paying attention to our breathing at our nostrils, we think we need to focus down to this little tiny place. So it can feel like we're narrowing our attention to direct our attention. But actually, directing the attention is a very light thing. Right now, pay attention to the sensations of your hands. Pay attention to the sensations of your feet. Pay attention to the sensations of your lips touching. How hard was that to do? It's actually usually not too difficult when it's just for a moment. Just a moment. You know, as I called out each area, pay attention to your buttocks touching the chair or cushion or bench. It almost like just pops in. Pay attention to the top of your head. There it is. So that aiming of the attention can be really light. It doesn't have to have a kind of a forcing or pushing quality to it. So that's one piece, that directing of the attention doesn't have to have any tightness to it. And then the sustaining of the attention, this is another place I think we tend to get tied up, because we direct our attention somewhere and then we think, okay, I need to hold on to it. I need to keep my attention there. And this is actually an area where it's helpful to learn skillful, light ways to keep the attention going. So I want to talk about each of these two aspects, the aiming the attention, the directing the attention, and the sustaining the attention. They work together. So the aiming of the attention, there's some gentle ways to aim the attention. One way is the is one way I suggested in the guided meditation, for those of you who were here for that part, to request that experience. So may the attention rest with the breathing. If you try that right now, just drop that in. May the attention rest with the breathing. Can it, in a light way or a non-effortful way, can you feel the breathing? May the attention rest with the hearing. So you can use requests in this way to, without having to actually do it, so without having to actually take your mind and try to put it somewhere, dropping one of these requests in can be a way to kind of allow the mind to find its way to that experience, as opposed to you feeling like you have to do that. Does that make sense? The other, another way, with some experiences, in the breath in particular, I find this to be the case with, that the breath can be really a delicate creature. If we're turning our attention and trying to look at the breath, at least I found when I tried to do that, it felt like the breath just like disappeared. You know, it's like it would be hard to find it at times because it's sometimes such a quiet, subtle thing. And so one thing I found is like if I was paying attention to my breath at my nostrils or in my throat, for instance, if I kind of put my attention in the vicinity of that area, so like put my attention kind of around here, but not right in the place, right dead in the middle of the throat, kind of just let my attention kind of be bigger than that. It seemed to be easier to allow the mind to be relaxed around being with that experience. So wherever you pay attention to your breathing, right now, explore this a little bit. See if you can make the area that you're paying attention to a little bigger than where you normally pay attention to the breathing. It's almost, I think of this as almost like looking at the breath from the peripheral attention. You know how when, maybe some of you are familiar with this, if you look up at the stars at night, if the stars are dim, you can't look right at them. Something about the way the eye is. You know, if you look just off to the side, the star will pop into view. So it's kind of like that. If you don't look, for me at least, if you don't look directly at the place where the breath is, but instead kind of in the vicinity of it, sometimes the breath can just pop in a much more relaxed way. Then there's this notion of the sustaining of the attention. This again, we sometimes try to force this because we have this agenda, I need to stay with the breath. But let's just play with this a little bit. So finding, and this is true for any experience, you know, whether it's hearing or a flow of attention, a flow of experience. So right now, find your breath, hopefully in this kind of relaxed way. I'm not looking directly at it, I'm inviting it in. And then just make enough effort to stay present for half a breath. That's all the effort you need to make. And then at the end of the in-breath, make enough effort to stay present for the next half a breath. So this is just using enough attention to stay connected for a short time. And then kind of reminding yourself again. So that aiming and sustaining. You aim the attention to the breath, and then just enough effort to stay present for 2 seconds, 1 second. And then connect again with the breath, and enough attention to stay present for 1 or 2 seconds. Just doing it over and over again. So really light touch to the sustaining of the attention. And how might this work with something like hearing? Let's play with it with hearing for now. So opening the attention to hearing. Noticing the sounds. So just allowing the attention to be with hearing. Without trying to hold the attention there. Just be with it. And then just remind yourself gently again. Hearing. Say every 1 or 2 seconds, just enough effort to stay present for a short time. And then a little reminder to yourself, oh, hearing, connecting to hearing. That little reminder is kind of one of the ways to kind of gently aim the attention. Oh, hearing. Hearing is happening. So this is a kind of just the direct the attention and a very short sustain. 1 second, 2 seconds, just enough effort to stay present for a short time, and then do it again, reconnect, reconnect. That aiming also is pretty light. So in this way, it can be very light. Aim, sustain. Hearing. Hearing. So this relaxed attention, this relaxation of the meditation, it's really a foundation for our meditation practice. So hopefully beginning with relaxation at the beginning of your practice, at the beginning of a period of sitting, finding a way in for you that feels comfortable, where it's most natural for you, starting from there, and then opening up. So finding for yourself the way that you can be relaxed and attentive, and then seeing if you can learn how to apply that relaxed attentiveness to other experiences. So, any questions? Any comments? It can be about this or anything you would like to talk about. So I'll ask you a question. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I just have a simple question. Do you have to close your eyes when you meditate?
Do you have to close your eyes when you meditate?
Right.
No, it's not necessary. Again, this is a place to look for yourself, what supports you. For some people, having the eyes open tends to take them out into the world. And it's very hard to stay present. For other people with eyes open, it seems to allow them to be more relaxed. So what works for you? I mean, to explore that for yourself. We often suggest eyes closed because we're directing our attention into the body. But you can also have the eyes open and pay attention in the body. Sometimes with the eyes closed, some people find it gets a little intense in the body. And so opening the eyes can make it feel more relaxed. So finding what works for you. I'm a great proponent of the what works school of meditation. So from my teacher, Joseph Goldstein. He really, you know, emphasizes that. What works for you? Find out for yourself. There's no one right way to meditate. There's no one, and even, you know, some teachers who teach, you know, one specific thing, you know, usually that one specific thing, you know, doesn't work for everybody. So finding for yourself the doorways in is really helpful. So be willing to experiment. Notice what supports your mind to be present and what takes your mind away. You might find at times with your eyes open, it really supports you to be here, present with your experience. Other times you might find with your eyes open that you just end up looking around. So use your own experience as your guide as to what is helpful for you at a particular time.
I have two questions, but one about labeling. I've labeled for a long time. And listening to Sayadaw Mutajaniya of late a lot, he talks about not necessarily labeling, essentially, just sort of open awareness in a sense. And I guess what I'm trying to work with is the habit pattern of labeling is quite instant.
Yes.
It's not something that you can just let go of because right. It's something you're exploring not to do. It just occurs. And in a way, the perception of whatever it is that's arising, the object, in order for you to even see it on some level, you're labeling it by perceiving it. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
So is it just semantics in a sense? Because hearing, if you know, in order to even be aware of the object of hearing, there's sort of this habit, if it's not a habit, if it's just the observing of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's your suggestion in terms of working with that long-term habit in relationship to his teachings?
So the question, just to give some context for some of you who may not be familiar with what labeling is, there's a meditative technique that is, it can be extremely helpful, and in a way I was pointing to it with hearing. You know, just kind of acknowledging, okay, hearing is happening. Of using a mental label to touch in, to acknowledge what is being experienced in the moment. So you might do that with the breath by connecting with rising, falling, or in, out. Or you're paying attention to a flow of experience and you notice when hearing is happening and when vibration is happening, and you use little mental labels to acknowledge what is happening in the moment. This is a meditation technique. And the question is that some teachers suggest not doing that, and he's exploring the teachings of a teacher who suggests not doing that, and yet it's such a habit that he finds it happening anyway. And so just a question about exploring, what does it mean to not label experience when your mind is kind of doing it automatically? And also in there, too, is a question around the process of perception, which the process of perception is the process by which the mind recognizes things. So, you know, the mind in you know, hearing a sound, for instance, if a train goes by, there's the sound, you know, there's the sound itself. And then there's the mind that will recognize the sound of train. And you might notice that by the mind saying the word train, You know, you might notice that the mind actually verbalizes the word train, or you might notice that the mind sees an image of a train. That's the process of perception at work. And he's asking the question of, it seems like this labeling is very close to this process of perception, essentially. That's why it's a powerful tool, actually, because it is so close, because we're kind of pointing our minds and recognizing, hey, this is what I'm paying attention to. Now, in terms of letting go of the active mind doing that, partly you don't stop it. You don't try to stop it because that's what the mind is doing. What the teacher, Saito Tejaniya, recommends actually is just notice that that's what the mind is doing. You know, so that you're not actively doing it, not putting an act of will into the labeling. So initially when we use the labeling practice, it kind of is an act of will. We consciously, we breathe in and we note in, we breathe out and we note out. We hear a sound, we note hearing. Over time, that becomes more automatic, and as Richard is noticing, it's so automatic that he doesn't even feel like he's doing it. It feels like it's just happening. And so that's part of the exploration, is just notice that's what the mind is doing. If there's any active doing to it, see if you can drop that. It's you can just recognize that, you know, the mind is labeling, essentially.
So essentially it creates another object,
yeah,
to observe.
The mind is doing that activity.
This habit pattern.
Yeah. This is something the mind is doing. So this in terms of open awareness, the mind doing thinking or doing planning or labeling experiences, just another thing the mind is doing. So we can know that as well. Well, let's just wait for a second and see if there's anyone else with another question. I want to ask you guys whether you could touch into that sense of relaxed attention when we were exploring around the breath. What happened for you there? Just get some feedback from you about what you noticed as we just explored opening to, okay, the breath, yeah, in the back. Oh, sorry, you're not raising your hand. Okay. Yeah. Anybody willing to share what happened? Yeah.
I very much always feel like I have to start with that act of will that you're talking about and really force the relaxation. When I'm at home, I usually only meditate 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and I usually, if I'm lucky, that last minute, I'll finally feel the relaxation.
Uh-huh.
So I like coming here because it's longer, because I think it does take about 15 or 20 minutes for me to get into that.
Uh-huh.
But I noticed that what actually happened was I was thinking, when you stop talking, I was thinking, oh no, I wonder if it's going to be over soon. I better hurry up and let go of all these thoughts I've had and really get to work here. So, and then all of a sudden, the openness that you talk about, it happened. It just happened. I think I was just over all those thoughts. I think I just have all this garbage in my head. So I'm always forcing the breath. I'm always, the thought appears, and then I remember, okay, I'm thinking something. Now focus on the breath. Okay, then a thought, and then focus on the breath.
Yep.
And then it's back and forth. But then finally, I think after about 20 minutes, it just felt very open, like you're describing. And I love how you talk about, the breath being bigger,
uh-huh,
or outside, and
uh-huh,
not.
Uh-huh.
You know, so
that was supportive too, to have a sense of relaxed
yeah, the perspective, or what did you say, the like a peripheral view?
Yeah.
That was very helpful.
One thing to play with perhaps is to, rather than starting with the breath, you know, rather than saying, okay, this is where I need to start with relaxation, just consciously relaxing the body. You're cultivating mindfulness as you relax, actually, because you're being mindful of the relaxing. So if you start there, and not be in a hurry to get to the breath. That was my mistake. I was in a real hurry to get to the breath. I thought, that's where it's at. That's what I'm supposed to be paying attention to. And I would just jump right in there. And like you, I was kind of like, oh, thinking, breath, come back to the breath. Thinking, oh, breath, come back to the breath. And so there was no spaciousness around that at all. It was really, I had a big agenda around being with the breath. And as I began to explore more relaxation, so relaxation from the beginning, actually, you know, noticing, is there tension, relaxing the tension. And then in coming back from the wandering mind, also relaxing, that being the kind of the first instruction to pick up on, rather than, oh, I'm thinking, go back to the breath. Oh, I'm thinking, oh, relax. That's the, you know, that if that can be the first thing, relax, and then see if we can open to our experience from that relaxation instead of having that immediate kind of yanking back. So you might just explore that. There was one time on a retreat where I was really exploring this practice of relaxation, and actually it was at a monastery with the teacher that Richard was asking about, Saito Utejaniya, and he emphasizes relaxation a lot. I think that's really where I picked up a lot of this teaching around relaxation. He said you need to relax. So I would start from there. I was not in a rush to have anything else happen, but just to relax. And I remember one sitting one time, it's like, wow, I just felt so tense. The whole body felt tense. It's like, I guess I just need to relax. And I spent the entire sitting, it was an hour or more, just relaxing, just noticing where there was tension and relaxing, just noticing where there was tension and relaxing. And sometimes using those requests, may the body relax, may the mind relax. After an hour of doing that, I felt really good. I was like, oh, thank goodness, there's a practice I can do where I don't have to get tied up in knots. So I encourage, you know, even to try to, rather than to go for the relaxation through the breath, which can happen, you know, if you stay with the breath enough and let go of other things enough, the relaxation can happen. But you might also explore starting from relaxation and not being in any hurry. I mean, the whole 10 minutes at home could be relaxation, and not being in any hurry to get to the breath. Thank you. Anyone else willing to share? Yeah, over here. Would you pass the mic over?
Something that when I try to focus on relaxing, I think day to day I suffer from something that most people here probably don't, which is sleep deprivation.
Okay, yeah.
I'm kidding. But so what tends to happen is I start falling asleep. Uh-huh. I think what's helpful for me anyway is because the point of meditation is presence and mindfulness rather than unconsciousness. So what helps me is not only breath focus, but I think sometimes focusing on my tension, like at least being mindful of it,
uh-huh,
you know,
uh-huh.
not getting myself to relax and then all of a sudden I'm sleeping, is to, okay, well, here's where I'm uncomfortable.
Right.
And that's my discomfort. And it almost keeps me awake,
uh-huh,
in order to practice mindfulness, right?
Yes, so there's definitely a kind of a terrain where you can get too relaxed such that you're just, you know, falling asleep or spacing out. So it's this balance of relaxed and alert that we're looking for. And it's more actually relaxation of mind that's most important. The relaxation of body is helpful if there's a lot of tension in the body. But it's mostly the mind being able to meet experience without getting tight around it. And so it sounds like you found a way to do that, to just, okay.
Or at least, you know, to compensate, at least to be able to compensate in times of...
Real sleepiness.
Of real sleep law, you know, debt.
Yes.
To maybe meditate.
Yeah. Well, there's another... I talked about this last week a little bit, the working with sleepiness. My favorite way to work with sleepiness is to just be mindful of the sleepiness. If I'm not... I mean, if you're too sleepy, you'll just fall asleep. But sometimes, because the sleepiness actually is pretty pleasant, if you turn your attention to that, the pleasant quality of the sleep feeling can be just enough of a carrot to keep you awake. And then you may fall asleep. But yeah, I found that to be helpful. And also another thing that you mentioned, to pay attention to the discomfort, that's actually when the body and mind get more relaxed, that's actually a good approach to not try to relax, but to just notice, okay, where is there tension? Can I be mindful of that tension? And then often in just being mindful of that tension will let itself go. And then there may be some other place, and then that will let itself go. So, yeah, definitely this is, again, as I said, I'm a great proponent of what works. So noticing for yourself what is helpful. So thank you. Thank you for that. Offering that counter, you know, the counter side to this. It's definitely important. There are definitely times that, and sometimes some people have more of a tendency towards being sleepy or dull. So in that case, there needs to be more of a sense of, okay, where's the alertness? How can I be alert? There may be enough relaxation, but how can I bring up the alertness? Anyone else? Oh, it's 9 o'clock. Sorry, no more. So thank you for your attention. I hope this was helpful.